Hello, my dear Pants on Fire listeners. Producer Noah here, back for another episode of Pants Extinguished. I'll cut right to the chase. In an effort to investigate previous episodes of our podcast game show, I tampered with the space-time continuum when I borrowed our sound effects robot Lisa's time machine without permission. That was 2 weeks ago. For you. For me, it's been many lifetimes of wandering aimlessly through the past and future. And though physically I haven't aged but a day, my experience of time is such that the 27 years and change I had lived before thrusting myself into the machine now seems like an insignificant memory, the briefest of daydreams. Fortunately, I received a message from Lisa about how to venture back into the present. It turns out I simply had to instruct the machine to navigate backwards and forwards through the entire Pants on Fire catalog, a madcap journey, the highlights of which I will now share with you.
The red cap, you know, that's the grand of the moment. So Hershey,
we should probably just talk about how the game works, Deborah.
Ooh, that bad.
Yeah.
Funny thing that's happened at my job.
We are lying about peas, lying about aerial art. We are lying about the heart.
Okay.
I'll shut down for several weeks.
Several weeks?
I wake up and I'm on a ship. Yeah, out at sea.
I'm mixing the stuff up. Not so shooting again.
And now, here's my mommy, Deborah Goldstein.
Or just the host.
Oh.
Drop it like it's
Pants on Fire!
And voila, I'm back once again with all of you in the present. Feels good. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, Pants Extinguished. This is the segment where we bring back the truth-telling expert from last week's show to learn more about his or her area of expertise. If you haven't listened to our episode on bicycles, pause now, go back, and have a listen. If you have time-traveling capabilities, I'd recommend you not make the same mistake I did, and rather than pausing and reversing time itself, simply use your podcast app to pause and make your way through our previous episodes that way. Had I thought of that 2 weeks ago, I might have avoided spending an eternity traveling through the void and back. But you live and you learn. Everyone else, please enjoy the interview.
Welcome back to our bonus episode of Pants Extinguished. We're talking about bicycles, and here with me today is Levi.
Hi.
And also with Noah, our producer, who knows a thing or two about bikes, too. Hi, Noah.
Hello.
And Lisa.
Hi.
And our expert extraordinaire, Camille. Thanks for hanging around, Camille.
Happy to do it.
You did a great job. Thank you.
You were so good, Camille.
I learned a lot for sure, but I have more questions. How about you, Levi? Do you have more questions?
I have way more questions.
Oh, well, what are some of yours?
So first, I would like to know, how many bikes have you fixed in your whole career?
Good one.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a lot of bikes.
Jinx.
And when you say fix, you said that people come in for an annual inspection, is that correct?
People come in for anything from a flat fix up to getting their annual maintenance, which we call a tune-up. We also do things like overhauls, wheel truing, brake adjustments, gear adjustments. Some bikes just need a little bit of help, but other bikes need a lot.
Oh.
One time I saw this guy riding a bike and it only had one wheel. And I was like, hey, dude, your bike's broken. He was like, nah. Was his bike broken?
It sounds like it might have been a unicycle.
That's what he said. So, yeah, his bike was broken. Thank you for confirming that.
Do you fix unicycles, too?
I probably could, but I honestly haven't.
They're super easy to fix. You just put on another wheel, and then you're like, I fixed it.
Exactly.
The more you know. Are unicycles considered as a bike?
I think so. And I believe that there are unicycle races throughout
really?
The country. I don't know much about that. There are lots of weird little subcultures in cycling.
Has there ever been a bike you couldn't fix?
That's a good question. I have a couple things that professionally I don't do. So I personally don't overhaul shock forks. I know, who knew that they needed overhauling?
I did not.
I didn't either until I went to United Bicycle Institute. And I did it once there. And I basically said, this is not my expertise. And I won't do it until I get more training and experience.
Wow. Huh. Did you find when you were going to these institutes that there were more male mechanics than there were female mechanics?
Interesting question. So I actually was able to go to school thanks to Quality Bike Products, which is the largest parts distributor in the country for bicycle suppliers. They have a scholarship called the Women's Bike Mechanics Scholarship, where they select the first year it was only one, second year 10, third year 12, and this last year was 24 people who got flown out to United Bicycle Institute, and they get the opportunity to, well, finish the program and then also take their test to become a certified bicycle technician.
Impressive. So what made you want to fix bikes?
Ooh, I started fixing bikes back in 2011. I had some friends that were having issues affording metro cards and getting around. And I also was part of a donation network, and we were able to get a bunch of bikes donated, and we fixed them up, set people up. And my passion really grew from there. I had been bike commuting for a couple years at that point. Bikes have taken me so many exciting places professionally and recreationally that I never would have been able to imagine.
I have a question. In my experience, bike mechanics are like some of the coolest and nicest people you will encounter.
Clearly.
Like the other day I was on my bike in my neighborhood running late for work, and I noticed my tires were low and I didn't have time to run upstairs and get my pump. But I walked into the local bike shop. I told them I didn't have any maintenance or anything I needed to pay for, but could I please use their bike pump? And they were all like, yeah, totally fine. And I have the feeling that I would encounter the same attitude at most bike shops. And I'm wondering if you could say why you think like bike mechanics are generally such cool, chill people.
That's a good question. I mean, well, first of all, about air. I mean, any shop that charges you to use their pump, I mean, you just got to tell them that air is free. It only costs money at the gas station.
Mm. Yeah, and if they say something, you tell them, come talk to Lisa, okay?
Yeah.
Next time I will.
I think that cycling in general attracts people who really want to live their best life, as it were, and really enjoy life. As I said earlier, helping people is the best part of my job, and making sure that they are riding the best maintained machine and that they're not having a difficult time pedaling and they're not going to catch a flat later in the day is what I literally wake up every morning to do. I'm not really sure what it is about us. I mean, we're definitely a kooky tribe, but I love this industry.
Have you ever had to fix one bike more than once?
Yes. Well, so sometimes here's a common issue that a lot of cyclists have is sometimes they will catch a flat and then they'll go to the shop, they'll get the tube replaced. Then the next day, suddenly their bike goes flat again. That can indicate a couple things, and a good mechanic would be able to pick those things out. Unfortunately, some mechanics aren't very good at their job. Some mechanics are very good at fibbing.
Some of them are like, hey, I found this cactus in there. And you're like, there's no cactus in there. And they're like, whatever.
Funny enough, last week I did a flat fix and I found a bunch of thorns in the customer's tire. I had never seen that before. And I asked him, I was like, when's the last time you rode through a park? He said, I don't know. I haven't ridden it in 3 years. What? I just got it shipped out from the Bay Area.
Wow.
Cactuses.
You're like a detective.
It feels like it sometimes.
Do you have any idea why it was full of thorns?
He was just like, maybe at some point I rode through a park. And we also figured out, you know, because it was coming from California, I had never seen thorns like this. They weren't like rose thorns. They were really small. So
So if anyone knows what those might have been.
Yes, West Coast, reach out.
Dun, dun, dun.
How many bikes do you own, Camille?
I own 6 bikes.
6. And are they all different types of bikes or?
Yeah, I can list them off.
I want to hear.
Go.
Okay. I have a track racing bike. I have a road racing bike. I have a cyclocross racing bike. I have a adventure gravel bike. I have a cargo bike. And I have my mountain bike that I use as a daily commuter.
Which one's your favorite?
Oh, don't make me pick. Don't make me pick.
Okay, don't pick.
Did you say you have a lacrosse bike?
What?
No.
No, I think that's
a cyclocross bike.
What do you need so many bikes for?
Yeah,
my
what's
gosh.
Going on?
Well, the cargo bike is for work. The mountain bike is for commuting and, you know, a little bit of off-roading when I have some free time, which isn't very often. Mm. And then I use the racing bikes for racing. I race track here at Kissena Velodrome. And I race cyclocross sometimes in the fall. And sometimes I fall.
Oh. Hopefully you don't get hurt too badly.
Not too bad.
Good.
Hey, if people are just tuning in, could I sum this up by saying you like bikes?
I love bikes. I'm a bit of a fanatic.
Yeah, she loves bikes.
Well put.
We can tell.
Okay, Levi, your final question.
Is there any big myth or lie you'd like to clear up about bikes?
I kind of touched on it earlier. That a lot of people think of bicycles as toys. And I, as a mechanic, it's really important for me to impress on people that while they're a lot of fun recreationally, they're not toys. They are machines that need to be maintained and treated with respect. And that's only just so that the rider can remain safe and, you know, enjoy the ride.
Amen.
Sounds
well
good.
Put. Thank you so much, Camille, for sticking around and telling us so much more about bicycles. Super cool. Thank you to Lisa.
Thank you for respecting machines.
Right. And also thank you to Levi. And also Noah, our producer, for chiming in and also asking some great questions.
Thank you, Deborah.
That's all the time we have today.
All right.
See you out there on the roads. Be safe.
Pants on Fire is a production of Gen Z Media on the web at bestrobotever.com. There you can find other delightful Gen Z podcasts and learn how to become a participant on Pants on Fire. You can also submit questions for Lisa to answer on a future episode of Ask Lisa. Follow us on social media at Pants on Fire Cast for behind-the-scenes photos and more true facts. We'll see you next time.